DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you. So far, so good over here. Like these nice crisp mornings, you know, right around 52, 53 degrees. That works for me. Wear a jacket when you come in. Don't need to wear it when you, well, I mean, by the time I leave here, I still need a jacket because it's dark out. I know, right? I need to find something to do other than work, right? But the fall weather is upon us, and I'm sure you're playing that game every night when you go to bed of, do I need to turn the heat on a little bit before we go to bed? Nah, we can just crawl under the blankets. We'll be warm under the blankets, right? We'll wear some pajamas and some sweatpants as pajamas. We'll warm up. Once we get into bed, because I tried, so I have two fans in my room. I know, I'm insane. And one is pointing directly at me from the front, and one is pointing at me from the side. And it kind of all depends on where I'm laying, you know, which one I feel. And for a few nights now, I've turned off the second fan and just gone with the one fan. And I have it on low. In fact, last night the power went out briefly for a couple of seconds. I don't know what that was all about. But I was just about ready to go to bed. Power went out. And I said, well, I'm going to wait and see what happens before I go to bed then, because I want to make sure my phone charges and everything so my alarm goes off. And it came back on a few minutes later. But then, you know, the fans need to be restarted. And I briefly thought for a minute about just not turning one on at all. But then I realized I'll get warm under the covers and I need the background noise. Since I've started working the mornings, I haven't done what I used to do when I would go to sleep, which was turn on old-time radio shows on an app I have on my phone. And I would just have those playing in a loop. Well, not a loop, but like there's a big, big playlist. So if you start one, there's like 25 episodes in a row. So it's obviously not going to reach the end of the playlist by the time you wake up. So I would listen to like Boston Blackie or some of the old kind of paranormally themed radio shows. And for some reason, it was comforting and it would put me to sleep as opposed to, you know, keep me up and be wrapped in the story. But I stopped doing that when I started waking up early in the morning because I didn't want anything to distract me from, you know, actually falling asleep. But it's a good, it's called the, I think it's Golden Age of Radio. Let me look it up real fast. Yes, Golden Age of Radio app. And it's a little clunky, it's a little buggy, but it's got a huge library of old time radio shows from the 30s, the 40s, into the 50s. Sometimes I'll listen to You Bet Your Life. But there's something for everybody there if you're into old-time radio shows. And there are a lot of people who put those out now as podcasts because so many of them are in the public domain. So if it's something that you're into, or even if it's something that you've never thought of, it's funny because I was talking with a friend of mine who is younger a while back. And she said, I said, what kind of podcast do you like the most? Because, you know, I was working on some ideas for things. I said, what do you like the most? Do you like interviews? Do you like, you know, like a talk show format? And she says, I really like the ones where it's like a dramatic story. So it's like they're telling a narrative and they're acting and there's sound effects and there's atmospheric music. I'm like, so radio, you like old time radio? And she was like, what are you talking about? I was like, that's what radio programs used to be. They used to have everything you could imagine. Comedies, sitcom type comedies. They had variety shows. They had drama, mystery, thriller, sci-fi, horror. So I don't think that the podcast generation realizes that they're just listening to what people were listening to almost 100 years ago. But anyway, Golden Age of Radio is the name of that app if you want to download it. And you will find some really interesting programs there. Now, they don't have complete libraries, but you can get a pretty good stretch run of repeat shows. So if it's an ongoing serial, you get a pretty good chunk of that storyline, at least. So you can't go back and listen to every episode, but you got to think these programs are on for 20 plus years, some of them. So you're getting, you know, enough story to follow to make it worth your time. Nah, anyway, let's talk about things that are a little bit more modern. Some changes that are coming. So I'm not a lottery person, as I've said many times on the show, but I know that many of you are. Like I've said before, I'll buy the occasional ticket if there's a big jackpot. I'll buy the occasional scratch ticket if, you know, I buy something with $5, that's $4, and I get a dollar change. I'll say, yeah, just give me a dollar ticket. Every once in a while, I might buy a couple of scratch tickets. But very rarely do I play the lottery. So this doesn't really affect me any, but it might affect some of you. The price of a Mega Millions ticket is going up, but officials are promising bigger prizes and better odds. And, well, let me explain to you why that is, just based on that headline alone. If they're charging more money for the ticket, they'll have a bigger jackpot. If they are promising better odds, it's because less people are going to buy the ticket if it's $5. So that alone takes care of those two things, but they're tweaking the game a little bit more. So lottery officials announced yesterday it will cost $5 to play Mega Millions beginning in April of 2025, up from the current $2 per ticket. The price increase will be one of many changes to Mega Millions that officials said will result in improved jackpot odds, more frequent giant prizes, and even larger payouts. The leader of the group that runs Mega Millions, Joshua Johnson, no surprise, says spending $5 to become a millionaire or a billionaire, that's pretty good. Yeah, you know what else was worth? You know what else is pretty good to become a millionaire or a billionaire? Spending $2. That was also pretty good. Probably better, I would say, than spending $5. Now, Powerball, in response, said they don't have plans to make any changes. They're not changing the price of their tickets. They're not changing the odds. But Mega Millions said they had to introduce these changes at a time when fewer people are buying tickets and jackpots need to reach even higher figures before sporadic players notice and opt to buy a ticket or two. The story says, whereas a $500 million jackpot once prompted lines out convenience store doors, top prizes of $1 billion now often draw more of a ho-hum response. Well, I don't know about that. I think once it gets to be a billion, I think people are pretty involved. But yeah, I mean, that we've talked about that here. I'm one of the people that are guilty of that. I don't play until it reaches a historic jackpot. I just don't care about or want to spend money on trying to win a $200 million jackpot. Not that I would love to have $200 million. It just doesn't entice me enough to take time out of my day to go to the store to buy a lottery ticket, then to check the lottery ticket to see if I've won. And I guess the other part of it for me is I do get that feeling in the back of my mind of, wow, what if I actually win this? And I allow myself to start drifting off and in thought about what I could do with the money and how I would take care of my friends and family and what I would want to invest in for making that money grow, and also what things I would buy myself, of course. And then there's the inevitable disappointment when you don't win. I don't get overly disappointed because I'm never counting on it to begin with, but I'm like, oh. I don't know that I want to put myself on that roller coaster more often than I need to, so I don't worry about doing it, because certainly, you know, a $200 million jackpot would change my life and the life of those around me. But it's just not enough to go through that emotional roller coaster, even though I know full well when I buy that ticket, I am not winning. If you think that you have no shot at all, then you don't really have to get too disappointed. And I shouldn't say, it shouldn't be if you think you have no shot at all. It's when you realize that you have no shot at all. Well, a very minuscule shot. But this is something that I never even thought of. And this also comes, this is an Associated Press story, by the way. It says, those much-hyped jackpot numbers could also take a hit as interest rates fall. That's because on billboards or other advertisements, state lotteries emphasize the annuity payment for jackpots distributed over decades from an investment fund. As interest rates have been high, the annuity jackpots have more than doubled the cash prizes that winners nearly always choose. So that's pretty interesting. That, you know, because of the interest rates, you say, well, you can do this or you can take this cash payout. You can take the cash payout or you can take the annuity payment. And people have been opting for the annuity payment because the cash payout seems like it cuts that number in half because you were getting the interest on that. But now they're saying if that interest goes down, those numbers will be kind of even. So then it won't be such a challenge anymore. Say, gee, what do I want to do? Do I want to take the lump sum or do I want to take the annuities? And I will give you the advice that Jose Matos always gave me when we talked about this on his show. Always take the annuity. It's better to have 20 years of guaranteed money than to have all the money and blow it. And I'm 46 years old. If I had 20 years of guaranteed million plus dollars a year coming in, I feel a lot better about the future. But I guess it's all in, you know, what works for you and how you want to take it. And so I hope that this doesn't discourage you from playing. I hope that you, can afford it if you're going to keep playing. I hope that, because think about that. If you're going from $2 to $5 and you've budgeted to spend that $2 every time, what do they do that? 3 times a week? So that's $6. Now you got to budget $15 a week. So you just went from $24 a month to $45 a month. You have just doubled what you spend on Mega Millions. Now, for many of us, $45 a month, you'd say, oh, that's not too bad. I probably spent, you know what I'll do is I'll just get, you know, 2 less Dunkin' coffees a week. I'll get 1 less lunch at a restaurant and bring a bag of lunch that day. You know, like you find ways to carve that out if you want to keep playing. But for people that live on fixed incomes who are probably, you know, a large portion of the ticket buyers for these lotteries, that could break them. I mean, I got lambasted by members of the audience when we were talking about the Community Preservation Act funds. And I said, you know, that $100 a year or $70 a year or whatever it was, you know, it isn't a big deal for people. And I had people that called in and said, I'm on a fixed income. That's a huge deal for me. That was a year. So I don't know. I think people that play the lottery will complain if their taxes went up $45 a month, or I guess we got to look at it as doubling. So if it went up 25 dollars a month, we'll just pick an easy number. If their taxes went up $25 a month, if the cost of living went up $25 a month, if the hot water bill or the gas bill or the electric bill, if that went up $25 a month, people would complain about it. They'd be freaking out about it. They'd be calling into the station. They'd be calling the mayor's office. They'd be whatever they could do to complain about that. But if their lottery tickets go up $25 a month, they'll find a way to pay it. The same way how, you know, I hear people say, I used to pay $5 a pack for cigarettes. Now I'm paying 12 bucks. I can barely afford it, but they're still buying them. The minute that something like that went up in price, I'd be like, you know what? I'm done with it. Lottery, cigarettes, any of that. I'd be like, you know what? I'm done with it. If it got to the point where I was complaining about the price, I just wouldn't buy it anymore. So I think that's how they're planning on having better odds, is that less people will buy tickets. Nobody's going to get on board with this now and say, wait, they're $5 a ticket now? Oh, now I'm going to start playing. They're going to shrink the casual group that plays it on a regular basis in the hopes of attracting more of those people when those numbers get to ridiculous levels. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Would a $5 Mega Millions ticket keep you from buying it? Would it limit the amount of times that you buy it? Would you be more judicious when you buy it? Or do you just not care? You can call in 508-996-0500. You can send app chat messages, open line voicemails. A reminder that we have your Money Talks cash codes coming up starting at 8 a.m. It's the final week of Money Talks, your final week to hear those codes every day and enter them at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app and try to win $30,000. And you know what? I don't know the exact numbers for the odds off the top of my head, but I'm going to guess that they're better than playing Mega Millions. I'm going to guess that they're better than winning most lotteries. And on top of that, it doesn't cost you $5 a ticket. It doesn't cost you anything. You're already listening to WBSM. You're hearing those codes. You just enter them in. It's that easy. So your first code comes up in the 8 o'clock hour, and then we'll have one each hour throughout the day through 5 p.m. And also, keep in mind that that is brought to you by Mirasol's Cafe in Dartmouth and Fairhaven, the brand new Mirasol's Cafe in Fairhaven. And a reminder to download the Mirasol's app. Make it easy for yourself so that when you get to Mirasol's, they've got your coffee or your snacks all ready for you using their app. You can download it from your app store or wherever you get your apps from. Right now, I am going to take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. To make you feel so small, but I see your truth. back in, and I was going to cut that a little bit shorter, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to let it keep going in honor of Cyndi Lauper's upcoming retirement. One of the best songs ever recorded. One of the best voices, too. Love Cyndi Lauper. And I'm sorry I won't be able to make it to the show that's happening at MGM Music Hall at Fenway on October 26th. That's the only local show on this tour. I'm booked up that night, but never got the chance to see Cyndi. But also, you know, I hope that people will continue on listening with her music, even if she's coming off the road. Well-deserved retirement, too. She does a lot of shows and is always involved in different things. Anyway, let's turn things over now. It's time to get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Florida prepares for a powerful hurricane, remembering Whitney Houston's mother, dead at 91. And are you brave enough to travel America's most haunted road?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Category 5 Hurricane Milton is growing into a major problem as it's forecast to make landfall in Florida late Wednesday or early Thursday. It's gaining strength as it rolls across the Gulf of Mexico, now clocking in at 180 miles per hour. That's a 90 mile per hour wind increase on Monday alone. Counties along Florida's west coast have been ordered to evacuate as over 50 are under a state of emergency. Recovery efforts are ongoing in the southeast with Hurricane Helene's death toll continuing to rise. In North Carolina, the death toll has climbed to more than 75, with the western part of the state being hit the hardest. But Governor Roy Cooper says things are getting better.
There is progress in western North Carolina toward recovery.
More than 230 people across the region have been killed from the devastating storm. President Biden had ordered 500 more troops to be deployed to North Carolina to help the recovery efforts. Both former President Trump and Vice President Harris spoke on the one-year anniversary of the Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel. Harris speaking in Washington, D.C., where she and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff planted a memorial tree on the grounds of the vice president's residence. Trump at a remembrance event taking place at his golf course in Florida. Georgia's Supreme Court is reinstating the state's six-week abortion ban. The ruling comes a week after a lower court had struck the ban down. That decision had allowed the procedure to resume and made them legal up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. The six-week ban will now remain in effect while the Georgia Supreme Court considers the state's appeal of last week's decision. Gospel singer Sissy Houston, the mother of the late Whitney Houston, is dead at 91. Kristen Marks reports.
Sissy Houston's family says she died at her home in New Jersey on Monday while in hospice care for Alzheimer's. In a statement, daughter-in-law Pat Houston says her hearts are filled with pain and sadness. Following the loss of the family matriarch, Houston, a Newark native, had a successful solo career herself, winning 2 Grammy Awards. She also performed with Elvis Presley and Aretha Franklin and was in the girl group Sweet Inspirations with niece Dee Dee Warwick. The vocal group sang backup for many artists, including niece Dionne Warwick. Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio.
An American man being held in a Russian prison for allegedly fighting as a mercenary for Ukraine. In April of 2022, 72-year-old Stephen Hubbard was arrested by Russian forces in Ukraine after being accused of fighting against Russian forces for monetary compensation. His family questions Russia's claims, saying Hubbard had moved to Ukraine in 2014 to teach English, and he never owned a gun, and he's not the fighting type. And if you're looking for something spooky to do this Halloween, you might want to drive on the most haunted road in America. As Sarah Lee Kessler tells us, it's in New Jersey.
Something strange in a neighborhood.
There are lots of tales of paranormal activity on Clinton Road in West Milford, a winding 10-mile stretch from Route 23 to Upper Greenwood Lake, where drivers report seeing phantom headlights and a young ghost boy who tosses coins at people from Dead Man's Curve. The car rental company Sixt says this road is the most haunted in America. Interstate 4 in Florida runs second, with Bray Road in Wisconsin placing third. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins in their season opener with the Florida Panthers tonight at 7. Celtics continue the preseason when they host the Philadelphia 76ers Saturday at TD Garden. And the Patriots and Houston Texans in Week 6 action at Gillette Stadium on Sunday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunshine and cool fall temperatures in store for the rest of the week. Overnight lows in the 30s could lead to frost. Good idea to bring in those sensitive plants. Looking to the weekend, more sun and milder temperatures near 70. This WBSM News Update brought to you by Sea Streak Sunset Cruise, taking the sights of historic New Bedford from the water on Saturday, October 12th. Book now at seastreak.com. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Also on the app, you can find our contest for this week where we are giving away tickets to see Mariah Carey's Christmas Time at TD Garden on Thursday, December 5th. You can enter to win a pair of tickets to see the Queen of Christmas at TD Garden. She'll be performing all of your holiday favorites and some of her greatest hits as well. And it'll be the perfect show to get you all fired up for the holidays. They are thawing Mariah as we speak and getting ready. You know, that's just the meme that's going around. She's not really frozen. But every year around Halloween, they say, all right, it's time to start thawing out Mariah because All I Want for Christmas Is You will soon be all over the radio. But you'll get to hear it live and all of the other great tunes she'll be performing. So if you want to enter to win that, just go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app. And it is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, 115 Huddleston Avenue, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, the home of the Rack House Club, where whiskey and bourbon fans can sign up and get a monthly selection, as well as 10% off all of their whiskey and bourbon purchases. I don't know if I should say this yet publicly. Well, you know what, I'm going to anyway. They're working on a wine club as well. So they're going to have all kinds of great things there for you, including all of their free sampling events and their education classes. So you heard Phil there mention in the news the most haunted road in America. And I just want to utilize this moment. I know some of you are rolling your eyes, say, oh, can't believe it took till October 8th for Tim to start with the paranormal stuff. There was an article that came out in the Standard Times a couple of days ago on the most haunted places on the South Coast. And I mean, a lot of it came from stuff that I've written over the years, whether for them or for my book or writing about it here. But you know, I'm just a purveyor of the legends, you know. But there's one story that I used to talk about and a place I used to write about and talk about and speak about when I would go out to different lectures and play clips from, and that we did episodes of Spooky South Coast dedicated to, that they included in that list, that I just want to tell you, don't go to. Things have changed since we first started researching the place, and that is Wolf Island Road in Mattapoisett. There's a lot of stories associated with that. None of them are really true. But that was a place people would go to all the time. The residents do not want people coming into that street and hanging out there at night. There's residential homes. It was a little bit different before they built up around it. It was a lot more secluded. But now they've built up around it. You'll be disturbing people. The headlights disturb people. The road is not safe for people to be driving down at high speeds like they do. And they will call the police if you are in the Ellis Bowl Cemetery past dusk. So just don't go there. There are plenty of other places you can go legend tripping that you don't need to go there and disturb the people that live there. And the Standard Times put it out in the story. I'm sure they didn't know any better, but I'm sure the residents are going to reach out to them and let them know, as they did to us here. Because that Only in Your State website has regurgitated that story so many times that it just makes life hell for the people that live over there. And also, I think the most haunted road in the area, it's a little bit more of a drive from the South Coast, but I think the most haunted road in the area is Route 105, where it goes through Halifax into Middleborough. So between 106 and 44, that whole stretch of 105 is super haunted. There are multiple haunted buildings, homes along that road. A lot of them tie back to one particular case. One particular family where, if I remember correctly, the son killed the father. They were a family that owned a lot of farmland around there. But there are other stories as well. There's a house where there's been multiple suicides. There's a weird stretch of the road where people have reported seeing strange lights in the sky. And that's also the street that my aunt and uncle lived on in the haunted house that they owned when I was a kid, where I had some of my strongest early paranormal experiences that led me to doing what I do now. So that's the most haunted road in Massachusetts, as far as I'm concerned. But it doesn't sound as sexy as saying Wolf Island Road. And there's ghost stories associated with it. There aren't legends associated like there are in Mattapoisett, Rochester, there at Wolf Island Road. So just don't disturb the neighbors. If you want to go legend tripping, which is what we call it when you're just going out there to try to get freaked out or experience something, you're not really looking to conduct a scientific investigation or pseudoscientific investigation. That's just legend tripping. If that's something that you want to do, shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com. I can send you stories we've written about plenty of other places you can go. You want to go legend tripping, go drive up and down Route 44 on the Seekonk Rehoboth line. See if you can pick up the redheaded hitchhiker. Go out to Anawan Rock in Rehoboth. See if you can see the phantom campfires and hear the Native American chanting. Go on down to Round Hill. Watch the sky. See if you see UFOs. Head on out into the Freetown State Forest or the Hockomock Swamp. See if you can encounter Bigfoot or Pukwudgies. Just don't go at night. Plenty of other places where you won't be disturbing the neighbors. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a few moments. See, Toe of the Wet Sprocket sneaks up on you. They're the soundtrack of the 90s, and you don't even realize it. People are like, hey, name a Toe of the Wet Sprocket song. And you're like, I can't think of any of their songs. I just remember their silly-sounding name. But then you hear Fall Down, All I Want, Walk on the Ocean, Something's Always Wrong. You're like, oh, wait a minute. This sounds a lot like the entire 90s to me. So hopefully that got you in a 90s kind of mood. So there's some pretty interesting Patriots news that we'll get into in just a moment. But the Patriots are looking to get off this night here. They have lost four in a row, and it won't get any easier this week as they welcome the Houston Texans to Gillette Stadium. The Texans are currently tops in the AFC South at 4-1. Can the Pats get it together and shock the world? Patriots-Texans kickoff is at 1 p.m. with pregame on WBSM beginning at 10 a.m. this coming Sunday. And if you want to hear the regular Sunday programming, you can just go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app. But on the radio on 99.5 FM and 1420 AM, you'll hear Patriots-Texans, and you'll hear the New England Patriots all season long right here on WBSM. But I had mentioned some interesting Patriots news, and that's what's going to happen with Patriots captain and safety Jabril Peppers. Because, first of all, he was already dealing with a shoulder injury. He was on the injury report for most of the week last week with his shoulder injury, which, on the field, that's a big loss for the defense trying to keep this team in games. However, his off-field life might keep him from being able to play in games. The whole thing is up in the air right now, according to head coach Gerard Mayo in his press availability yesterday. They're still conducting their own internal investigation into what happened on Saturday when police, Braintree police, responded to a residence, for a disturbance call involving an altercation between Peppers and his girlfriend. The caller said Peppers, quote, hit her, choked her, took off her clothing, and put her outside. She also told responding officers that Peppers put his hand on her neck and smashed her head against the wall before he allegedly pushed her down the stairs after an argument. This according to WCVB. Peppers was placed in handcuffs and taken to the police station, where an officer found a clear plastic bag containing a white powder substance inside of Peppers' wallet. When questioned about the substance, Peppers said it is cocaine, according to the police report. That's what the police report said that he said. And then when questioned about the altercation, Peppers said he asked the woman to leave the apartment several times and denied putting his hands on her, adding, quote, she fell by herself on the stairs because she was intoxicated. The report says that he denied pushing her down the stairs and said she was making those allegations up to destroy his career. So he was arraigned in Quincy District Court yesterday, where he pleaded not guilty to charges of assault and battery on a family member, assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, strangulation, and possession of a Class B substance believed to be cocaine. He was held on $2,500 bail in order to stay away from the alleged victim. Now, Peppers didn't say anything at his arraignment. However, his lawyer said that he has seen evidence that sheds real doubt on the allegations, including videotape evidence. So they think that they have videotapes that will exonerate him or at least create reasonable doubt as to his guilt. So Patriots coach Gerard Mayo said yesterday that we informed the NFL and we are still gathering information. I know the team put out a statement earlier today. I am not sure how the league and how we are going to handle that going forward, but we should find out some more information over the next few days. He had also made a statement. I'd have to look it up in my email with the transcript, but something along the lines of, you know, he would be there until they had a reason for him not to be there. So I don't know, you know, how far along they are in their internal investigation. Let me just pull this up. Well, you know what? We'll see if we can find it a little bit later. I got to take a break anyway. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. We only have a few seconds here. We're going to be going into the